What is Seattle's boom going to look like in the University District? Urban historian Margaret O'Meara was part of a group that created the University District's strategic plan. That's the city's plan for that neighborhood's growth. She wants to see taller buildings, more people, and tech startups in the U District. That wish list worries Tasso Lagos. His family ran the Greek restaurant, the Continental, on the Ave for 40 years. He doesn't want to see development push out community.
My family took over the restaurant in 1974, and then about 3 years ago, my father and mother decided to retire. So within that space of time, I really got to know people who were return customers, even people from KUOW would come. And you
I've been to the Continental many times, Tasso.
There you go. So you know something about sort of having this anchor point that is a place you can, is a respite from the weary world, you might say, a place to kind of get away for a while and to just have someone smile at you and know your name, know what you're going to order. And that sort of relationship is a fabric of life. And community is about those kinds of relationships, keeping an eye on each other, helping each other. When you're having a really terrible day, you walk into the Continental and someone says to you, "Hi, Bill, how are you doing? Good to see you." That's the kind of relationship that I'm talking about. Now, in terms of what will destroy that, well, if you create a mechanism whereby the idea of development becomes far more important than community and sustaining those relationships, where it's only really about growth and not about the people who live there, then I think that is a recipe and potential recipe for how to ruin the fabric of a community.
Margaret, can we? This isn't just a Seattle or a U District question, right? This tension is all through the Puget Sound area. How do we grow and preserve the restaurant where people know your name and all the other things that makes us think of about a neighborhood?
Well, I would counter with, let's think about what sort of new communities can be created through new development. And here's my example, and I think this feeds into why these two things can coexist. So a couple of years ago, the UW, those listeners who went to law school at UW may have spent a lot of time in Condon Hall on Campus Parkway, a big concrete brutalist building.
Yes.
And the UW repurposed a whole floor of Condon Hall and rented it out to startup companies and tech accelerators, including the region's largest tech accelerator and seed fund, and renamed that part of Condon Hall Startup Hall. And it's been hugely successful in drawing in not only people from elsewhere in Seattle, companies and entrepreneurs, but also as a hub for UW students who come to events, who are doing internships, who are kind of moving back and forth between the classroom and doing cool stuff at these startups. And that's a great model of what sort of the new people that could come in and again contribute to the community. Because one of the things that particularly the young people, but the people of all ages who work in these tech companies, they love going to places like the Continental and other places that had that history, that have that interesting, you know, destinations beyond the office. And I think there's a real opportunity here in the U District to create new communities while sustaining the old.
Tasso, what's the way forward for you? How do you want this city, this region, this neighborhood, how do you want us to handle all the people who, like it or not, are coming here?
Well, you're right. There's going to be, 100,000 folks that are going to be coming in the next decade or so, and something has to be done to house them, to feed them, to move them around the city, to entertain them, et cetera. So that's something that we have to be cognizant of. Well, I guess as I said earlier, we do have to be very aware that there is going to be development and we have to be very smart and strategic about it. But I think that the key for me is actually two. Number one is to remember, again, the discussion on community. And I'm very happy that we're having this discussion. That means that there are other people in the area, in the U District, who are perhaps thinking about it. And the listeners might react and say, you know what, there's a good point being made here. But number two, the thing that I'm most thoughtful about right now is the idea of a public plaza. And that to me would be a very important point to retain the livability of the university district, Bill. And when I say the public plaza, it doesn't necessarily have to be around the metro, the new light rail station at Brooklyn and 43rd, but it just can be anywhere in the area. But what I'm thinking of, and perhaps this is sort of my European background, is of the kind of like the piazza you would see in any ordinary Italian city, or actually for that matter in Greece, where I was born. Well, you have this central area that invites families, that invites people to come and sit and enjoy each other and have their relationships. And that, to me, is a very, very important point. I remember in the 1970s when the university bookstore was open every Thursday till about, I think, 10 o'clock at night. The Ave was absolutely packed with people, and you would see families in strollers moving up and down the Ave. What a wonderful sight. Well, eventually that went away when the University Heights School was closed. And so the idea of having a public piazza or a public plaza in the U District as an anchor point would be a way for me to, for all of us to attract the families to come back, to have a kind of a magnet for these kinds of new relationships that Margaret is talking about.
Again, Margaret, it's not just the U District or Seattle that's thinking about the piazza or the magnet or the public place. For all of us, I want to know from you, how do we keep our soul while still moving forward?
That's a critical question. And public spaces, plazas, parks, piazzas, streetscapes are part of the marvelous thing about living in cities, that you have these mixing bowls where people can come together and interact informally and be entertained and have some breathing room from regular work and life and routine. But I guess I approach this as someone who teaches and writes about urban history, and I sound a note of caution because we have to think about that sort of park making, space making, place making, whatever you want to call it. You can't do that without addressing underlying questions of economic access, vitality, opportunity, diversity, that you need to have a neighborhood that's working in other ways, where you have a wide variety of people, different activities, you have activation, as urban planners call it, of space around the clock. And, you know, a lot of things physically may change in the U District. There may be taller buildings. They will be in only parts of the area. You know, you're not, I don't want anyone to leave this conversation with the impression that there are going to be lots of 30-story buildings in everywhere you can see. But there's this real opportunity to do some exciting and different things and take advantage of the amazing things that already are in the U District. I'm so glad we're having this conversation. I'm so glad that the U District is now a topic of public discussion, because it's this real opportunity to do something novel, different, that responds to the history, responds to the fact that you're next door to this major university with this huge student population. So how do you do this differently and do it right?
Margaret O'Mara, part of the group that created the University District Strategic Plan. She talked there with Tasso Lagos, whose family ran the Continental Restaurant on University Ave for 40 years. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this question. How do we keep what we want and still move forward? Our email address is record@kuow.org.